to 1 Corinthians. We come this evening to the end of study of one of the many problems or controversies facing the church at Corinth. The churches in the day of the New Testament differed greatly from most churches as we know them today. The main word of the church of the New Testament was the word fellowship. Christians, members of the church, came together on the first day of the week for fellowship, the breaking of bread, the prayer, and the study of the Word. Sunday school was unknown. So-called evangelistic campaigns, unknown. Less than 300 years ago, the Sunday school came into existence. Robert Raikes in London started Sunday school, and it met about 7 or 8 miles from the church to which he belonged. It wasn't a part of the church, had nothing to do with the church. It just organized it over in the community where there was no church. But as things went on through the year, they finally brought into connection with the church. And then the church became an institution of propaganda, organization. The last 100 years, someone has called the Sunday school the evangelistic agency of the church. The church has no evangelistic agency. The church itself is supposed to be evangelistic. In the church at Corinth, they would meet, and they'd meet for fellowship. The delivering, the preaching of sermons was not part of it. They just all met together, and they were all members of the church. As they went out from the church during the week of witnessing individuals saved, they were baptized, and then they would join the church and come in then on the first day of the week for fellowship. So what we're studying here in these manifestations of so-called charismatic signs in the church were things that took place in the fellowship of the group and had nothing to do with the preaching as such. Different ones have a revelation, something, they give it. Different ones feel like they could talk in another language, they would get up and do it. They would prophesy. Some have a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, they'd get up and give it. Consequently, there's a great deal of confusion. And the confusion in Corinth seemed to revolve around the so-called speaking in tongues or talking in foreign languages. As Paul addresses himself to this, and I use the word Paul advisedly, it was the Spirit of God that gave this lesson. Now, the connection between chapter 12 and chapter 14, you recall that 13 is the chapter defining love. That love which one gets when they are born from above, that love which comes to them from above, which comes from God, as distinguished from three other words used to describe or designate love. Now notice the last verse of the 12th chapter. The Apostle Paul says, "Covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." Now look at the first verse of the 14th chapter, skipping the 13th chapter entirely. "Follow after love, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy." You see the connection between the 12th chapter and the 14th chapter, setting forth the 13th chapter as parenthetical. Now, the Spirit of the Lord takes up several gifts and discusses them, connection with the talking in tongues. Notice, if you will, here in this 14th chapter, in the second verse, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries." Notice the word "unknown." That word is in italic letters, which is a device adopted by the translators of the King James to show a word that they have inserted, but is not in the Greek text. There's nothing in the Greek text of the New Testament that speaks or mentions of an unknown tongue. There was no such thing as unknown where these tongues were spoken or languages were spoken. There was a gift of interpretation, and there were those who could interpret. Now, the Apostle Paul emphasizes the prophetic word. Now, the speaking in foreign languages came first at Pentecost, when they were gathered together, all of those people from every country in the world. Pentecost was one of the three feasts where the male of Israel, between the age of 20 and 60, were required to attend. Three feasts they were required to attend. Feast of the Passover, Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of the Tabernacles. Those three feasts. And on the day of Pentecost, there were Jews there from every nation under heaven. And when the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples there at that occasion, they were able to speak in the languages of those that were assembled together. Some 17 or 18 nations are mentioned by name, of whom it is said, "We have witnessed a most unusual thing today. Every one of us have heard the gospel preached in our mother tongue by individuals who did not know their language, who had not learned their language, and who could not talk in their language until this gift of God had come upon them." It was a real language and understandable, and it was for the lost. Now, there was no occasion in the assembly of Christians for someone to get up and deliver a message for lost people. Christians being assembled together needed the word of prophecy. Prophecy being twofold. The fourth telling of the word of God and the foretelling. At this date, foretelling of the word of God was important because the canon of the scripture had not been completed. And one of the gifts was the gift of wisdom, the word of wisdom, and there was the word of knowledge. But with the completion of the scripture, no more revelation from God, no more word of wisdom, no more word of knowledge. We've got it all here in the Bible, with the Bible being completed. But efforts today to do away with the Bible and to tear out this portion, tear out that portion, is something to behold. The Lord brings to my attention the fact that years ago, I attended a series of services. I attended one of the services in a series of services where a young evangelist was preaching. And he had a most dramatic way of illustrating what some people claimed didn't belong in the Bible. He had gone someplace and bought a cheap edition of the Bible. That was back when you could get a Bible for a quarter or 50 cents. He bought one, and as he was preaching, he said, "There are those who tell me that the book of Revelation doesn't belong in the Bible." So he tore it out and threw it on the floor. Somebody else told him about Genesis, somebody about Daniel, somebody about this one and that one, and he just tore them out and threw them on the floor. When he finally got through, he just had the covers left. Well, I got the picture, as did most everybody there. I've never felt like trying to illustrate it myself, but just tell you about it. You might want to do it someday. But this thing in the Bible is complete. Now, when they go to leaving out part and adding part, they're in trouble. But the Apostle Paul talks about prophecy. Quit worrying about speaking in tongues or in foreign languages or in different languages. Quit worrying about that. Quit desiring that. That is of no value whatever. No value at all. That was used speaking, preaching the gospel to people whose language they knew not. They could do it without studying or learning the language. What you need is the gift of prophecy to tell forth the word of God. What you need is the capacity to teach the word, tell it forth, sound it abroad. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the thing that's needed. Now, he tells them here, verse 18, "I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. I speak in foreign languages better than any of you or all of you." You recall how he started the 13th chapter, "Though I speak with the tongues of men, though I speak every language known to man, and with the language of the angels, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing." He said here that, "I thank my God that I speak with tongues or languages more than all of you." Yet, in the church, when we come together in this fellowship, that's when they had their covered dish luncheons, and the affluent ate in this corner, and the non-affluent over in this corner. And there's a breach in the fellowship there based on what they have and what they have not. And that was one of the problems in the fellowship meeting. Now he said, I'd rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in a language, or foreign language. I'd rather speak 5 words to be understood than to be able to speak 10,000 words in a foreign language. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Very polite way of saying, don't be a baby all your life. Howbeit in malice, be ye children, but in understanding, be men. Now, there was so much disturbance in that church that the Spirit of the Lord laid down certain rules. Verse 23. If therefore the whole church be come together in one place, and all speak some foreign language, there come in those that understand not, or unbelievers. It wasn't a gathering for unbelievers or unbelievers, but if some unbeliever came in, will they not say that you're mad? Have you thought that yourself? Maybe he said. But now if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one that is unlearned, he's convinced of all, and he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. When you come together for a fellowship and the breaking of bread and ministry of the word and prayer, everybody's got a psalm or a doctrine or a revelation. Let me tell you what I saw last night, and then they spiel off something they saw. Let me tell you what the Lord told me, and here they go. And you can well imagine the confusion in a group like that. Now, if any man speak in an unknown tongue or in a foreign language, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course. Now, he's talking to the church of Corinth. He's not talking to a church like we have today. That church of Corinth, they'd met for the fellowship and have their love feast and visit together and having a good time in the Lord. And this one says, I have a message from the Lord in a foreign language, and he begins to speak in tongues and so forth. Now, the Apostle Paul says, if any of you have to speak in tongues or foreign languages, not over three in any one group or gathering. Not over three. One or two, and not over three. And do that by course, that is, one at a time. One at a time. I've attended a few meetings where they broke forth talking in tongues. All of them jump up, all of them yelling at the top of their voice, all of them waving their hands. Read it. Let all things be done unto edifying. If a man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three. Two's enough, but not over three. And when they do that, Do it one at a time. By course. You've heard of a one course, two course, three, seven, eight course dinner. One at a time. All that, you just speak one at a time. And then let somebody interpret. I heard this on our trip west. Preacher would be preaching long, and there was a certain individual rise up and start talking in tongues. And they do it every time he preached. And finally, one service, he said to the party, "Be seated. What you're doing is not scriptural." One of the leaders of the church stood up and said, "Pastor, what they're doing is scriptural." Now, I've been given the power to interpret what they're saying. And here's what the party was saying in that foreign language. The party said, "The Lord told me to sell all I have and bring it to the church next Sunday and put it in treasury." And that stopped talking in tongues. I have someone there who can interpret it. You may have occasion to interpret sometime. There's a reason I told that. Look at it. If there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. Let him speak to himself and to God. Now, let the prophets speak, two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye all may prophesy, one by one, that all may learn, and all may be comforted. Let everyone give a testimony to the Word of God. Give a passage of Scripture that's comforting to someone and indoctrinating to another. For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and be comforted. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. They're commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Well, you see there, they're still under the law, haven't yet come out under the fullness of the grace of God. I don't know whether that's the beginning of the Lib movement or not. I doubt if it was. I think that evidently started in the Garden of Eden. But crops out all along through the Bible. And let the women keep silence in the churches, in the fellowship, and in the teaching of the Word, and the ministry of the Word. If you want to know something, wait till you get home and then ask your husband. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to Timothy, said that he did not suffer a woman to teach men. That's a reversal of the order which God has laid down, which God is the head over all. Under him is Christ our Lord, under Christ is man, and under man is the woman, and under the woman and the man, the father and mother, are the children, and then under them also are the servants. That's the order of authority. And I was made to think a little more along this line. When I first came here and associated with the Institute, they had a wonderful lady teacher of the Bible. And she was teaching a class one day there in our present offices. She was over across the hall, and I asked her if she minded if I sat in. I never thought of that as being a church or anything like that. And she said she'd rather I didn't, because she said in her study of the Bible, all that she could teach was what her husband had taught her. All she could teach was what her husband had taught her. And she could not teach men or a man in a group like that. The Apostle Paul said, I suffer not a woman to teach. Well, many people have difficulty with that particular passage of Scripture in the light of chapter 11, others, where it talks about women prophesying uncovered and prophesying with head covered. So they want to know, what are you going to do with this, where the Word of God says she is to prophesy? But then Paul said for the woman to keep silent in the church. I ran across this statement one day, which was very helpful to me. It said they did prophesy, but not in the church. They prophesy in the home, on the street, but not in the church. They couldn't assume that authority over man. I was amazed at the furor created by the Pope's recent visit to this country, that so many Catholic women want to change the whole doctrine of the Catholic Church and be ordained to the priesthood. Then it dawned on me there were Baptist women being ordained to preach and pastor churches and other denominations. I am amazed at how people today are trying to change this book to conform to their way of living. God doesn't change. And the Word of God doesn't change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But you look around us today, you've got to keep pace with the age, they say. Oh no. Christians must conform to the Word of God. I read this statement recently. You can take it home as food for thought and meditate upon it. Every scientific advancement of today is calculated to do away with the Word of God. All right. We're not going to dwell on the situation with the women. I doubt if the Spirit of God has uttered more satirical words or sarcastic words than in this 36th and 37th verse. The Spirit of the Lord, through Paul, saying to the church of Corinth, what? Came the Word of God out from you? Or came it unto you only? What? Did the Word of God come from you? Are you God's spokesman? Or did the Word of God come unto you? Well, I know and you know that the Word of God didn't come from us. But it has come unto us. I don't know how loud Paul would have spoken these words. What? Did the Word of God originate with you? I never turn on the television but what I hear some religious speaker, so-called, claiming the Word of God has originated with him, or her, or them, or it. Now look at the next verse. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual or filled with the Holy Spirit, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Now take that and apply it. Listen to these. As they give revelation from God, as they give the word of wisdom, word of knowledge that's come to them, listen to them. Paul says, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, then acknowledge that what I've said up here about these things having passed away are the word of God. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you will confess that what I've said about these gifts passing away is true. But if a man be ignorant, if a man refuses to hear and heed that which has been written here, let him be ignorant. A better translation there, same form, but let him be ignored. If any man doesn't know these truths about which I'm speaking, then just ignore him. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues, let all things be done decently and in order. Now I want to take just a few minutes and show you when all of these signs, wonders, and miracles cease to exist. Now, turn with me first to Matthew chapter 10. Greatest word to this modern generation by our Lord is ignored by the majority. That expression is this: the just, the saved shall live by faith and not by sight. We need no demonstration or manifestation of any sign, wonder, or miracle to attest to the fact that God is. The just, the saved, shall live by faith and not by sight. Now here in this 10th chapter, he called unto him his 12 disciples, gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness, all manner of disease. Now, he gave that power to the 12. He gave that power to the 12. Lest there be some misunderstanding, he names the 12 to whom he gave that power. And in the 5th verse, these 12 Jesus sent forth, commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and in the city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I have never yet heard a purported worker of miracles, one who receives the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, I've never yet heard of a single one of them that didn't go to the Gentiles. And they collect money from the Gentiles. I've never heard a single one of them utter the statement that the gospel is to the Jew first and also to the Greek. They go to the Gentiles. They tell me that this 10th chapter, the traveling orders of Christians today. Here are our commandments. Here are our traveling orders. Here they are. As you go, preach, saying the kingdom of the heavens is at hand. Heal the sick. Heal the sick. Have you ever attended a healing service? I have. I attended one by the Queen herself, Amy Semple McPherson, at the Angelus Temple in Los Angeles. I attended one. I never saw a person healed. I saw them limp into the line and limp out of the line. I saw them take crutches or canes away from them. As they left the line, I saw them hunting the crutches again. Heal the sick. Cleanse the leper. Raise the dead. Now, I will give Amy Semple McPherson credit for one thing. She couldn't raise the dead. And so she said, that doesn't belong in the Bible. I haven't seen one today raise the dead. Oh, I tell you, in Burma, way over there in some dark spot where nobody's ever been or will ever go, they raise some dead. Why don't they go out here to Forest Hills or over here and raise them? Raise the dead. If these are our traveling orders, we can raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely you received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses. Don't put on any telethons. You don't need anything. I'll supply everything you need. You don't have to raise a cent. You don't have to take any with you. Don't take any scrip, paper money for your journey. Neither two coats. Just take one coat. Don't take any shoes. Nor staff. The workman is worthy of his meat. Those signs are connected with the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. Those signs were the credentials of the preachers of the gospel of the kingdom. And as long as the gospel of the kingdom was being preached to the nation of Israel, these signs were in evidence. As long as these sign for an evidence the gospel was being preached, the gospel of the kingdom, to the people of Israel. Now, I'm having to skip over a great deal, kind of time, but turn with me to Acts 28:28. At the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles, the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom was only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then it began to be mixed up with the preaching of the gospel of grace. Now in the 10th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, we have the first preaching of the gospel to a Gentile. And Peter was sent by the Lord to the household of Cornelius to preach the gospel of the grace of God. Now, the gospel of the grace of God was being preached more and more. The gospel of the kingdom, less and less. And we learn in the experience of Cornelius' household that the gospel was also preached to the Gentiles. At first, it was preached only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Later on, they began to preach to the Gentiles. Also the Gentiles. Also the Gentiles. Also the Gentiles. But everywhere Paul went in the Acts of the Apostles preaching, he went to the Jews first. And then, when they refused to accept it, he went to the Gentiles. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. On two other occasions, the Lord turned from the Jews to the Gentiles. But he came back to them. But here in Acts 28:28, we have the experience of the final, ultimate turning of God from the Jew to the Gentile. Be it known, therefore, unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. And from that time forth, the gospel of the grace of God was preached still to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But it's the gospel of the grace of God. And from this time forth, Israel could not repent as a nation. From this time forth, Israel as a nation could not be saved. Individual Jews could be saved through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But that day when Israel shall be born as a nation in one day was removed from them until the Lord returns. And with this experience in Acts 28:28, signs, wonders, and miracles ceased. Now, look at the top of the margin of your Bible. And mine says A.D. 63. A.D. 63. Now, I have many people ask me today, because of various and sundry television programs, about anointing with oil and praying for those this. Well, let's turn to James and see what James has to say. In the book of James, chapter 5, verse 14, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. I've never heard of that being done. I've seen the elders call for the sick. But this says, if anybody gets sick, let him call for the elders. The church will come out to his place and anoint with oil and pray over him. What I see is they bring them all together in a building and then call them, and the elders call them to come. Now, look at the top of the page and see what the date is. Here it says 60 A.D., which is 3 years before Acts 28:28. Now, what you're going to find, and you can search your Bible for this, you're not going to find any miracles recorded in the New Testament after about 63 A.D. You're not going to find them. They're not there. They're not there. Why didn't Paul heal Timothy's stomach? Why didn't he heal Trophimus to take him with him? Why did he have to leave him at home sick in bed? Why did he have to go off and leave Epaphroditus at the door of death? Because all of those things took place after the gospel of the kingdom was no longer preached to the nation of Israel. The gospel of the kingdom is not preached to the nation of Israel today. It's the gospel of the grace of God. Those signs and wonders ceased when the gospel of the kingdom was no longer preached to the nation of Israel with the view of Israel repenting and being born as a nation in a day. That day's put from us. That day's put from us. And it'll not occur again until the Lord returns to the Mount of Olives and his foot touches. The just shall live by faith and not by sight. Dismiss us, Lord, with thy loving care and tender mercies for Christ's sake. Amen.